Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. On this podcast, we feature the latest stories from the GPB newsroom. You can send us feedback or story tips to georgiatoday@gpb.org. Today is Thursday, February 12th. I'm Orlando Montoya. Coming up on this episode, the Georgia Senate passes a mid-year budget which prioritizes Hurricane Helene relief. A bill clears the Senate which prohibits Georgia Power from passing the cost of data centers on to customers. And an Atlanta school helps preserve culture by teaching the art of capoeira.
It isn't just learning the history and the culture in a cognitive way of like, hey, let me teach you something about the stories. There's an embodiment to living out some of those cultural principles in the group itself.
These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The Georgia Senate passed a mid-year budget yesterday that prioritizes Hurricane Helene relief. Funds were shifted from a variety of programs to help pay for the $750 million needed for storm cleanup. Vidalia State Senator Republican Blake Tillery led its 51-1 passage.
So the Senate's budget takes $10 million that was added by the House, adds $15 million to it in the Department of Community Affairs, for individuals, victims of the storm, who through no fault of their own, nonetheless are still awaiting claims to be adjudicated or claims that were denied.
Other budget line items include education, public libraries, and infrastructure. The mid-year budget covers state spending through June 30th. It now goes back to the House. The Georgia House passed legislation today aiming to protect access to some fertility treatments, GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Applause erupted in the House chamber as a bill codifying access to in vitro fertilization treatment received unanimous passage from both Republicans and Democrats. Representative Lehman Franklin is the sponsor of HB 426. He and his wife are expecting a baby girl later this year, conceived through IVF, after years of infertility.
Challenge anybody in this room that no one here in this room has not been either directly influenced or affected by IVF or indirectly affected by IVF. Everyone that I've come in contact with has had their own personal experience.
Several other representatives rose to share their own personal stories with IVF. The bill now moves to the Senate. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the State Capitol.
The Georgia State Election Board yesterday voted to dismiss a lawsuit seeking to enforce a subpoena against a conservative group that was unable to produce evidence to support its claim of ballot stuffing in the state. Texas-based True the Vote in 2021 filed complaints alleging ballot stuffing in 2020 and 2021. After the group refused to provide information about its sources, a judge ordered it to comply with a state election board subpoena. The group then said it had no information to provide. Noting that that means the investigation would likely be unsuccessful, the election board voted Wednesday to dismiss the matter. Capoeira is an Afro-Brazilian martial art originally created by enslaved Africans as a method of self-defense disguised as a dance. It's a combination of kicks, dodges, music, and acrobatics. In Atlanta, Filus Chibimba is one of a few schools teaching the martial art and sharing the culture it comes from. GPB's Amanda Andrews spoke to students about what it means to be part of the capoeira community and connecting to its history.
For someone who is looking and seeing a capoeira roda, or people playing capoeira, you'll see a circle. You'll see people clapping and singing, playing instruments, and two people in the middle of that circle are attacking and defending playfully, because it's not sparring.
My name is Ricky Lawson, and in the capoeira world, I'm known as Professor Malandro.
Malandro means street smart.
Everyone, eventually, over time, will receive a nickname that expresses the way they move, what they like to do, something that they'll be proud of.
My name is Nicole Cooper, but in the capoeira community, I am known as Alta, which means tall.
Most likely going to have to work a little bit harder than someone who's smaller than you because...
I'm almost 6 feet tall, but actually, because I'm also very flexible, and then training with people that are a lot shorter than me, they seem to not be able to fully stretch me, so that's how I got the name Alta.
I think what I really like about training with Melandro and Filho Bimba as a whole is that he's very passionate about the art. He's very knowledgeable. He's pretty much like a capoeira encyclopedia.
Our capoeira school comes from a very specific lineage, which is the lineage of Mestre Bimba. Mestre Bimba, who is black, who is poor, who is illiterate, was able to take this form of expression, this art form, that was being persecuted by law, and now it's a part of Brazil's nationality.
Yeah, nice job.
Capoeira is for everyone because it's so multifaceted. There's the musical components, the movement components, the historical components. There's something that everyone can be nourished by and everyone can contribute their own strengths to. My name is Megan Kazansky. My capoeira apelido is Soneca. It means nap. I've been a part of a few different capoeira groups in my 10 years since I started. This group, Filho de Bimba, I feel really aligned with their principles and methodologies. And so I'm excited to really be a part of a community where we're celebrating each other and growing together.
Good. Stop there.
Very good. I'm doing things that, and like getting strong in ways that I just would not have thought of, like, oh yeah, at 46, I'm going to be doing cartwheels all over the floor or handstands.
I'm going to do the kick.
And then you're going to do the kick.
And then you do the negativa.
I'm Ruth Evans, and I have been training with capoeira for 3 months. It isn't just learning the history and the culture in a cognitive way of like, hey, let me teach you something about the stories. There's an embodiment to living out some of those cultural principles in the group itself.
Wait, protect your face.
And with Black History Month, capoeira represents that regardless if the entire country that you are in, you know, has it in for you, doesn't see you as a human being, you are still going to fight. You're not going to hang your head low. You're going to sing. You're going to dance. You're going to resist.
Kayaki, levanta lá.
Palm here. Levanta lá. Get up over there. Já pronto pra recomeçar. I'm already ready to start over again.
Kayaki, levanta lá.
You just heard from students at Filho de Bimba, a school of capoeira in Atlanta. This piece was produced by GPB's Amanda Andrews. A bill prohibiting Georgia Power from passing on the costs of providing electricity to data centers to residential and small business customers has cleared a state Senate committee. Senate Bill 34 comes in the wake of 6 rate increases in less than 2 years that have driven up what homeowners and small businesses pay by 37%. The legislation now goes to the Senate Rules Committee to schedule a floor vote. Unionized dock workers at the Port of Savannah agreed this week to a new contract through 2030. As GPB's Benjamin Payne reports, it puts an end to uncertainty over a potential strike.
Rank-and-file members of the International Longshoremen's Association overwhelmingly approved the contract, which includes a 60% pay raise over 5 years throughout major ports along the East Coast and Gulf of Mexico. Speaking at a conference in Savannah this week, Georgia Ports Authority CEO Griff Lynch said the months-long negotiations came with their costs, as many customers diverted cargo last year to the West Coast. That included Savannah's rival port of Long Beach.
They grew by almost 20%. The major East Coast and Gulf ports grew by 9.3%. Most years, that's pretty good. But LA Long Beach doubled us. I hope they enjoyed it, because it's all going to come back to us.
In a statement, the head of the ILA called the new contract, quote, the gold standard for dock worker unions globally. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
The Georgia Trust for Historic Preservation today listed 10 historic properties threatened by demolition, neglect, development, or public policy. The nonprofit's annual Places in Peril this year include a circa 1900 peach packing barn in Middle Georgia's Peach County, a historic black church in Savannah, and the Southeastern Railway Museum in Duluth, northeast of Atlanta. Trust President and CEO Wright Mitchell says the museum is significant not for its building, but for its historic train cars.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Marco Polo sleeper train is there that he would take down to Warm Springs. And in fact, there are 90 pieces of rolling stock there at the museum.
The small museum is struggling to care for the collection. Many of the Trust's annual selections go on to be restored, while others languish, and a few are demolished and lost forever. The new location for Mercer University's medical school in Macon has been finalized after a deal between the school and Macon's Urban Development Authority. Mercer will buy a strip of vacant, formerly industrial land in downtown Macon near the Ocmulgee River, which until recently was dominated by homeless encampments and near where the city demolished an abandoned hotel on New Year's Day. The new medical school will be 3 miles away from Mercer's main campus and, according to the school, will be large enough to accommodate growing enrollment, which has more than doubled since the medical school opened 40 years ago. Macon city leaders are counting on the new medical school to help further expand the footprint of Macon's recent downtown economic resurgence. Frontier Airlines is expanding its presence at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. The low-cost carrier today announced a 40% increase in departures from ATL, including 9 new routes. And for those of you thinking to escape what we still have left of winter, I'll just mention 2 new routes, Aruba and Palm Beach. Doulas can offer vital and sometimes life-saving support before, during, and after a baby's birth. The nonprofit Atlanta Doula Collective was created to give Black families support, and it has, to hundreds of them. As GPB's Sophie Gratis reports, the group recently screened a documentary that aims to share their doulas' stories.
The film, cradled in culture, Reclaiming the Legacy of Black Doula Care, explores the many roles of doulas as companions, educators, and allies. It also explores joy that producer and the collective's founder, Sakisa Berry, says can be overshadowed by statistics of maternal mortality.
That was an intentional goal, and we wanted people to feel empowered, uplifted.
But the film is not without tension. Doulas are not licensed practitioners, but are there when moms give birth in hospitals.
Many providers don't even understand what doulas are and what they do, which is a part of the prompt for this documentary. I was like, they need to hear it from doulas themselves.
Barry hopes the film can be a teaching tool for providers and aspiring doulas as the collective plans to expand. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. Please hit subscribe on this podcast. That'll make sure that you always stay current with us in your feed. If you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.